much for joining me on my podcast, Be the Hero and Rescue Yourself. As I say in my introduction, I have the privilege of introducing and interviewing many of the heroes that I have met professionally and personally in my life. So I'm so very excited to be able to talk to Scott Vetter, who is an author, about writing your resume and letting it speak for yourself. And I know with what's going on in this world right now and a lot of people looking for work and laid off or just looking for new opportunities, I thought this was a great opportunity for Scott to come in and give you guys a morale boost, a little good swift kick in the butt about how to make sure your resume speaks for itself, and some other guidance and tips to help you guys get out there and land that next amazing job. Thank you so much, Scott, for coming. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Kelly. Thanks for what you're doing.
So we got to meet professionally, and the way I called you and I said, I reached out and I was like, Scott, I'm writing a book. Help me. And you were so amazing. We spent about an hour on the phone, and I just want to thank you so much for allowing me to kind of pick your brain and letting me just kind of understand the book and publishing process. But tell me why your book. Why did you come up with this book? Because we all have a why on why we started our books. So give me a why here.
Sure. So I was a Fortune 100 recruiter, and I did over 5,000 interviews before I stopped counting. And most people's resumes are awful. And that's not unique to veterans or civilians or one particular kind of occupation. It's just most people didn't know what I was looking for on a resume and how I use that information. So I wrote a book about it really to vent my own frustrations. I like to joke, but it's actually because I knew it would help people. And signs of a great resume. Look at that. Look at that. I'm on a book. That's me.
Yay!
Free beard, of course. Yes. Free beard. but I don't know about you. When you got your first copy, I teared up a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I teared up.
But, you know, I knew that my perspective as a recruiter could be really helpful to people because there's a lot of mystery surrounding recruiting, and you just Google resume tips, you'll find trillions of results of people that have opinions about it. But while a lot of people have good intention, not a lot of people have the actual experience of sitting in the recruiter seat to know what is most effective. And so I articulated these signs of a great resume as the way to really make your resume speak for itself. And it's really taken off. And I never imagined it would become a bestseller on Amazon, and you know that I'd be able to reach so many people through this the book journey that I've been on. And I hope you're finding your journey rewarding too.
I am. I think the best thing about writing a book is that first copy, get a little teary-eyed, and go, oh my gosh. But then the other end is the people and the individuals that I've been able to meet through the process, and through that process have called or emailed me or texted me and said, oh my gosh, Kelly, this book has helped me so much. And has allowed me to kind of think differently through where I am in my life and become my own hero. So, you know, I think when you start a book as humbly as I want to help people, that's when a book becomes a great seller, or even if you just help one person, you've done more than what most people have done in a lifetime. So congratulations. And plus, coming from a recruiter that looks at resumes all the time. So I want to talk about your character, your guy on the front of your book. Does he have a name? Because he is adorable. I think he's the guy ever.
He's like a cartoon resume who appears to be cursing at you. I promise he's not cursing at you. I guess internally I call him Rezzy, the cartoon resume. What he's doing is he's showing you how to write a resume that speaks for itself. And really the biggest problem that we face on resumes as recruiters is most people write a resume that reads like a job description. You know, they just write the basic things they did in their occupation, and that's not helpful. You can imagine that if every teacher resume I see says, taught English classes, graded papers, tracked grades, prepared students for the next level, and nowadays hosted Zoom classes, you know? Right. Every teacher can say these things pretty much. So that's not good enough.
Right.
That's not a job description. I know what a teacher does. I went to school. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to teach me that. What I want to know is what made your experience particularly unique. What qualifies you for a job that makes you stand out, that nobody else could say? And that's what really makes the difference. That, using the signs of a great resume to articulate that particular great and unique experience, is what makes your resume speak for itself.
That is like, did y'all hear that? Yeah, that was some great advice. So give me an example. So let's take the teacher. So hosting Zoom classes and, you know, learning Canvas and all that kind of stuff. So give me maybe an example of what would be kind of a great resume that would speak for itself out of that.
Sure. Thought. So to think about that, what I call these signs of a great resume are these symbols that I've come up with. And see, I've got props too. So these are the signs of a great resume. And these signs are what really makes the difference. If you think about what you did that was remarkable, wow, exclamation point. Nobody else could say that. At what point you gained the most relevant experience and some numbers, dollars and percent that help to quantify what makes you a great fit. That's how you write a resume that speaks for itself. Those symbols, if you need to remember them, you just look down at your keyboard and above the numbers 1 through 5, I came up with that.
Brilliant. Oh my gosh, you are so brilliant.
You got it. You got it. That is what makes the difference. Mm-hmm. That's what really makes you stand out as a unique candidate. And those ways that you can articulate the particular value you've brought can be really special to your experience and importantly can relate to what you want to do in the next job. So let's go to the teacher example we mentioned. So taught English classes is simply a job description. What if instead it's taught classes up to 14 students and prepared students successfully with a pass rate 2% higher than the previous year? Now that's pretty unique to a single teacher. We could, of course, unpack that further and say, all right, so how did she get 2% more students to graduate? What was she doing? And if the teacher explains those particular accomplishments, that's pretty significant. You know, think of a second bullet might say something like, designed a grade tracking system and increased input efficiency of scores by 50%. Right. Well, that's got one of the numbers there. So a 50% increase means takes her half the time it used to put her grades in. But that's also one of those exclamation point moments. It's not a teacher's job to design a grade tracking system, probably. You know, she's there to teach English and parts of speech and all of that. But if she does something above and beyond, that's what's setting her apart from other teachers who are doing their great hard work to try to prepare students. But when she gives a specific example using those signs of a great resume, that's what's making her resume speak for itself.
That is a great example. And it's, you know, because I'm very visual. So taking those exclamation points and the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and earn an understanding what that means, that helps so much with how to, you know, create a resume and make sure that it speaks, obviously speaks for itself. And then what that does is it has the recruiter get curious. Okay, I really want to talk to this person. And I really want to understand, you know, what was her process? What was her thinking? You know, what other things has she done in her career? Because we can only fit so much on a resume, right? We can't, you know, we can't have 50 pages of all the wonderful things we've done, but it's to catch the recruiter's attention. The other question I have is we always see, you know, all the organizations and we hear keywords in these systems that recruiters are using to scan resumes, and some of them are kicked out and then some of them get shot to the resume. Any advice on what folks can do out there to make sure that those keywords are inside of their resume so the machine sends it to the recruiter in the first place?
Yeah. So a couple things about that. First, there's a lot of information out there about talent acquisition software, applicant tracking software, the ATS. And yes, a lot of organizations are using a computer to first kind of intake all of the resumes and perhaps review them. By and large, the recruiters I talked to today who are actively recruiting are still with their own eyeballs looking at the majority of the resumes. That doesn't mean that keywords and whatnot aren't important. But let me break the premise a little bit. And I like to say the best way to apply for a job is not to. Ideally, you want to be networking and building relationships and talking to people to really get to know how you can help them do what they do and what makes them successful. When you're doing this in advance of the job becoming open and you're building a legitimate relationship, not because you want something out of it, but because you want to learn and grow and improve, you're going to get to results that lead to jobs much quicker than you can get on any website to the whatever.com/apply and go apply, 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 apply. Because anybody can do that.
Right.
And of course, the worst time to look for a job is when you need one. Right. Ideally, you want to be building those relationships in advance. But I recognize the economy being in the state it is today, with the COVID-19 crisis still going on and the pandemic still raging across the country, means a lot of people are very unexpectedly unemployed very quickly. And there's a lot of talent in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands of people entering the marketplace for jobs every day, it seems. Yep. And so it's not realistic to say, well, you should have planned in advance. So yeah, you will still have to apply for jobs. I get it. The very simple way to make sure that your resume aligns with what the recruiter is looking for and what the hiring manager, your eventual boss, needs, is to just look at the answer key that we've provided. It's the job posting. So I tell you, here is what is important in my organization. Here are the skills I'd love you to have. Here's what it'd be great if you had. And if you look at the job posting, there's usually three parts. There's a job description, so you know, do I want to do this every day? Mm-hmm. And that can tell you some things about the company's culture, about how they work, who they serve, and how they talk about stuff. And you can start to literally just use the words they use. And the more you sound like my job posting, the more you sound like somebody who already works here. Me. It's not because I'm some genius. It's because the hiring manager, your future boss, said, hey, find me somebody to do this kind of thing. And I just write down her wish list onto the job posting. It's not very complicated. Then the minimum and preferred qualifications, or the basic and desired qualifications, think of those like buying a car. The minimum qualified candidates are like Toyotas. They're fine. It's a good car. But they're not special because a lot of people drive Toyotas.
Right.
The preferred qualified candidates, ooh, if I could have my perfect candidate be like a Rolls Royce. Everything, all the bells and whistles. Well, you don't have to be a Rolls Royce to get an interview or land a job. You just got to come in somewhere around Lexus to be a compelling candidate.
There you go.
The more your Lexus sounds like my Rolls Royce wish list, the better shape you're in.
Gotcha.
So ideally, you want to use those Rolls-Royce qualities, the preferred or desired qualifications, to shape what kind of examples you include using the signs of a great resume to bring your resume to life. And those are the magic keywords. It's not some special list or some genie in a bottle who's doing some magic trick. It's just math. Do the words on your resume align with the words that my boss said go look for? And if they do, you're probably in good shape.
Oh my gosh, that is such amazing advice. Debunking that thought that, you know, if I don't put the right keywords in here, some machine is going to spit me out and a recruiter's not going to see my resume. That is huge. And then also the networking piece. So the fun thing that I've been able to find out during COVID is networking organizations have found some very creative ways through Zoom to still attend and go to networking events, chamber events, and other organizations have started utilizing Zoom and little, you know, private room areas where you can go and talk to different people and still network and still get to know folks. So I always tell folks, there are some creative, fun ways that people are figuring out how to network. Go find those fun, creative ways. Think outside of the box, because that's kind of what COVID has done. It has made us completely think outside of the box. So there's organizations that are doing some great things, so you can go out and meet people and network, and they know who you are and they know what you know, and then being able to find those opportunities there. So that's been interesting and fun to find out. So the other thing is you work a lot with military veterans when they are moving to transition out of the military into civilian life and guiding them in that process. To how to translate all of their military experience into civilian world. And what you've spoken at the White House, how many times? I mean, dang!
It's been a wild journey for me. And what I get the privilege of doing is helping veterans in their career transition from the military to the civilian workforce. So to rewind a little bit, you know, as I went on the book tour for my first book, I'd always hear from veterans at speaking engagements and book signings, they'd say, hey, what about us? It's a different story. Well, how can you help us? And I said, well, what do I know? I didn't serve. But my dad and my grandfather both did. That's actually my grandfather Jack's World War II medals on my wall back there. And, you know, they struggled when they got out, my dad and grandfather. They were Army E6s, which is, you know, sort of a entry-level leader, if you will, of some sorts in the Army. And nobody capitalized upon their skills and their experience and the great many things that they could have brought to the civilian workforce. And I didn't want today's vets to have my family story, where they had to work harder than necessary and not benefit from everything they learned in the Army. So I became an expert in this space. I actually had the privilege of meeting First Lady Michelle Obama at a program in Orlando about putting veterans to work. And I said, hey, I think I've got some insight that can help. And I followed up with her office. And while I implied no DOD endorsement or any government endorsement of any kind, it is factual that I was invited to the office of First Lady Michelle Obama, where I met with senior leadership to talk about how we can help explain what veterans bring to the civilian workforce. In the course of that, then I became an expert in this transition process by learning and networking, like you said, going to places where veterans were and needed some help. And I was just a sponge first, you know, just let me learn about it. And now over the last decade or so that I've been in that space, it's really been a lot of fun. I've met some super interesting and talented people. And I was, one of my clients who was a senior leader role at the White House, just ending time at the end of his career in the current administration. So I went back to the White House in the current administration and actually delivered my signs of a great resume and interview workshop for the White House Military Office, which is, you know, all of the military operations at the White House, everything from that very popular suitcase that goes around with the president everywhere to Air Force One and Camp David. So some real talented and interesting stories to tell there. And, you know, it's not for any reason but that everybody's military career at some point will likely end in retirement or when you're separated for whatever reason. So it should always be in your mind as you serve, the mission is first. But in the back of your mind, how does the mission you're on relate to your future mission in the civilian workforce? Because I really believe veterans are some of our best employees in the civilian workforce. They're just not always the best job candidates, because the one thing the military does not make them awesome at is being a civilian job candidate.
Right.
So that's where I come in to help. The way I articulate to civilians what veterans bring to the workforce and to veterans about how they can describe their experience is I want veterans to say, I am a patriot. And it's an acronym I came up with. The military tends to like its acronyms. Okay. So patriot stands for I possess values. I'm accountable. I'm trainable. Respectful. I take initiative. I'm on time. And I'm a team player. Those qualities that I think by and large, almost every veteran possesses, I think every civilian employer values. So why not talk about those specific things on your resume? Say it loud and proud, I am a patriot, and articulate how you have demonstrated taking initiative using the signs of a great resume. Articulate what kind of teams you played on at what point, and then show some of the value of what the outcomes and results of your work in the military were in a way that helps the civilian understand how you can help us too.
That is, your acronyms make it so easy to remember and help folks process the information that they need to make sure that they bring out either in an interview or in their resume. So, you know, talk about the skills. So let's give a couple examples of military skills that they have gained in the military and how a couple of those skills can translate into the corporate world or civilian life. Because I always like to give examples just so people kind of know what we're talking about and kind of, you know, dig a little bit deeper.
Sure. So there are so many skills that it'd be hard to pick just one. But I'll use what I just talked to somebody about this morning. I was talking with an Army veteran. She's about to transition after 20 years in the Army, and she works in the intelligence community. Now, the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, might not even be a place that some civilians have heard of. They may go, did you mean CIA? I've heard of that. But there is a DIA, and her job is involved human intelligence. And a lot of her time was spent doing interrogations and things like that. On the surface, we don't interrogate people in the civilian workforce, and human intelligence isn't a term we always use. But as we backed up together and we said, all right, so what does that mean? What are the skills that you think you'll transfer and bring over? And to get her there, you know, what I talked about, what feels good in a day at work? What kind of things did you achieve? And she said, really, you know, what I do is I help people make decisions based on what the intelligence is telling us. So if you break intelligence down into just a simpler term, it's data, it's just information. And somebody who can analyze data and influence stakeholders is a skill that I can use in a lot of jobs in the civilian workforce.
Right.
Now, I'm not sitting around most civilian roles and recruiting offices going, you know what would be great is an intelligence officer coming from the DIA for this job. You know, outside of the defense world, that's not on the tips of our tongues.
Mm-hmm.
But if the candidate says, I can influence stakeholders to make strategic decisions, I can do that using complicated data and explain it in a way that's easily digestible, and here are some examples, well, I think most recruiters would go, well, great, sign her up. When does she start?
Boom. And I can keep secrets.
Yeah, that too. Yes.
So that is actually a great transition into taking what you have learned, leadership, your leadership traits, and then also your values, your moral compass, keeping secrets, right? Being able to take that data and communicate that over to leadership and stakeholders so they can make good, solid decisions about the organization and the future about the organization. How can you bring that all together inside of your resume? So like you just said, so a recruiter's like, let's bring her in. Let's chat with her. Let's talk to her about it. Because, you know, our military, whether they're, you know, just starting out in the military or they've been 15, 20 years in the military, leadership starts day one when they're in boot camp. I mean, that's a huge thing that they talk about, being a leader, being supportive, taking care of your team, making sure everybody is working together towards one common goal. How can you bring that all together, even in an interview process or your resume?
Yeah, so I know and recognize the cliche statement, there's no I in team, right. But there are two I's in interview, and one of them is the first letter. So it is important for you to talk about your individual accomplishments. And I absolutely agree with what you said, that leadership starts early in the military. What I tell the service members I'm working with is it starts from the moment you raise your hand to serve. You're demonstrating individual leadership from the day you enlist or commission, even when you're managing nobody but yourself. So a lot of times early in someone's career in the military, they do a something else and then they become a different type of profession through their education or additional training. And so I had a Navy SEAL officer last week, and he is now going on to pursue advanced education. Early in his career, he worked in aviation electronics. So what he's going to do next does not relate to aviation electronics, but it does relate to something very technical. So what we did is early in his career, we simply described it as frontline operational leadership in electronics. And then it didn't really matter that, oh, he was fixing this thing on an airplane or helicopter or whatever. All that mattered was that he was demonstrating leadership from the moment he enlisted, and then he developed a technical skill, which we could use some examples from if we needed to. But the majority of the examples we focused on with the signs of the great resume are from later in his career, where we are giving specific instances where he, again, influenced, in his case, where he led operational teams and conducted some pretty complex technical training that he was doing. Those were the skills he was most likely going to use in his future occupation. So for him and for many candidates who are changing careers significantly, what we talk about is something like a functional resume. And if you've done any Googling on resumes, you may find that a lot of recruiters don't like functional resumes. A lot of them just talk about very high level skills and stay where they worked. They like hide information. And like, why would you do that? There's no need for that. What I say is you can prioritize the information that is most relevant using, I call it a blended functional resume. So for this Navy SEAL officer, one of the things we did was we talked about technical program integration and something related to engineering was a bucket of skills that he had. And he had developed those skills from his time as an aviation electronics technician through his time on the SEAL teams, in these more strategic jobs where he's effectively now going to be buying technology that SEALs will use through the Navy, and focusing on technical program integration and engineering acquisitions was a lot easier to talk about for someone in the acquisitions world as a civilian than saying Navy SEAL lieutenant.
Is that, what does that mean?
Exactly, right? You know, most civilians' impressions of what a Navy SEAL is are formed based on Hollywood and headlines.
Right.
In the middle of all that is what SEALs actually do every day, which is right. a lot more than what you see in the headlines.
Well, we see like beast mode, you know, going through and, you know, that kind of stuff and in their workouts and everything else. But, you know, if you get to know a Navy SEAL, they're brilliant. I mean, they are highly intelligent and there's a lot of stuff going on in there. So to get it out, they're not just physically strong, but they're mentally strong too. So you're right. You're right. So you've got to be able to put that along. Cause usually as a recruiter, I'm like, cool, I just want to talk to him because he's a Navy SEAL. Yeah. There, you want them to have a reason why to talk to him and have a reason why.
You know, so, SEALs, Green Berets, Rangers, they get cool points by default, right? You know, right? And I think all veterans deserve cool points by default. But cool people are interesting to talk to, but right. might not fulfill the needs of the job.
Right.
So we translate not just what's cool about it, but also what has been effective. And the way to do that is to showcase specific examples with those signs of a great resume. And people would be astounded at how much time Navy SEALs and other special operators spend wearing a suit sitting in an embassy, not knocking down doors finding bad guys, but sitting with the senior most leaders of the world. Sometimes, you know, prime ministers and defense secretaries from other countries are looking at a Navy SEAL across the table going, so what do we do? Navy SEALs kind of like shape what that looks like.
Yep.
When you give a specific example like that, with as much detail as you can, I recognize you can't get all the details out there, right. you're going to help the civilians understand and learn more about what a SEAL might bring to the workforce, and maybe more particularly, what this individual SEAL brings to their particular organization.
I love it. So let's talk about, while we're going through the application and interviewing process, let's talk about taking care of ourselves as we start doing that, because it can be challenging physically, emotionally, mentally. It can even wear on your self-esteem for a minute there when you're going through the application process. So are there any thoughts or tips that you give to the folks that you work with on how to take care of themselves in those ways while they're going through this application and interviewing process?
Sure. And I think, you know, people that are doing the work that you and I are doing, I think in a way, are part of a large ecosystem that are there to help.
Yep.
You know, you are not alone in this process. Whether you're a veteran or a civilian who's never served, there are a lot of people who are willing to lend a helping hand for all the right reasons. You know, for me, this is born from my both frustrations as a recruiter and also desire to help vets based on my family. And it really relates to kind of my inner purpose of why I do what I do. And over the years, I've been able to articulate it as, I help people, especially veterans, find success in their careers. And as long as I'm doing that, the job function I'm doing is kind of secondary to that. It feels right if I'm helping someone to succeed in their career, which is why I'm happy to have that conversation we had, gosh, how long ago about your book, because I knew that could be something that would help continue to propel the success in your career. And look, it has. And I feel that way about my work with vets. So I don't say that to say, hey, look at Scott. I'd say that to say there's a lot of people whose intentions are really good in wanting to help you. There are other people who just want to sell you stuff. Be wary. So ask for referrals and go to trusted sources. But there are organizations that are really top-notch teams that are working to do to provide an ecosystem to help people. So on the veteran side, it's pretty clear to me who some of the leaders in this space are. A couple that I have engaged with over the years are the Commit Foundation, which really provides a holistic overview of your transition to help veterans find what they call serendipity. And I work with really top-talented people all the way through flag officers and general officers through Commit. And they're really wonderful group of people with a heart in the right place. The Navy SEAL, the SEAL Future Foundation is another one for specifically Navy SEAL community. And the Naval Special Operations Foundation focuses on EODs, which is Explosives Ordnance Disposal Technicians, and their particular transition process as well. There's also informal ways that you can get involved, both as a civilian and as a veteran. So LinkedIn is a powerful resource to find people who I think by and large want to help. So what I often do with my clients, veterans or not, as they're saying, oh, you know, I'm exploring this new field, I just, I don't know who to even talk to. So, all right, let's go to LinkedIn and find out who you should talk to. So this morning with my human intelligence officer, I said, all right, well, where do you want to work? She told me a name of a potential company that's on her radar. So I put that company's name in the LinkedIn search box, the word Army, and HUMINT, which is the Army initials for human intelligence. Okay. Wouldn't you know that about a dozen people showed up? Start there.
Right.
I bet you, if that veteran knocked on their virtual door through LinkedIn, a simple connection request, and said, hey, I'm on my own transition journey. Would you tell me what it takes to make a vet successful at this organization? I bet you some of them would say, sure, let me pick your brain. Or let you pick my brain.
And one of them.
They'd also say, send me your resume, because it's kind of the shorthand for, you know, who are you, what do you do? So you'll still need a resume, but that's what starts that networking process. And I think part of self-care, to go back to your original question, is recognizing that you are not alone. And you should prioritize care for yourself before you start your day networking and before you put all this time and energy into resume writing and whatnot. And that means getting proper sleep, good nutrition, mindfulness. You know, I use the Insight Timer meditation app every morning. Today I hit, I think, 470 consecutive days. I skipped a day like a year and a half ago, but I'm probably at 800 or so days overall. And there's a lot to be said for, can you just take a moment to recharge and renew? Because when you've just lost your job, I know it is awful to feel that way. It is awful to feel like you don't know what's next. It is just, it's isolating. You may feel disappointed, or you feel like, you know, what did I do wrong? And none of those are healthy and productive ways to look at a job search or life in general. So take the time to recognize all the things you did that were awesome at work, those things you could write on your resume, and take the time to be present, and perhaps through meditation or some other way, to get you on a mindset that really sets you up for success in the process.
Oh my gosh, such great advice, Scott. So one last question that I always like to ask, what are your top three things that you want to get out to my listeners and anyone else that is looking for a new career opportunity or a new career path, your top three things that maybe we didn't talk about today?
Sure. So I think number one is to not only reach out and ask for help, but if you are working and have expertise, offer it. There are so many great ways that you can help other people in their career journey. Some of them are very simple and very easy to do. One great platform to help veterans in particular is a service called Veterati, and it's Veterati. And you log on and create an account as a mentor on Veterati and say, here's some things I'm good at doing. Who wants to learn about it? And then you put on some availability, an hour at a time, and say, you can pick my brain for an hour on Tuesday at 10 a.m. because I had a meeting canceled. Mm-hmm. And then veterans who are interested in your line of work can say, hey, I'd love to pick your brain. Can we have a chat? And Veterati navigates the whole conversation. It's free to you. It's free to the veteran. And it really is a powerful way to connect. So I encourage you to volunteer somewhere like that. American Corporate Partners is a great one for people working at organizations who participate with ACP. Mm-hmm. And if you are an organization who wants to help reach veterans, then you can definitely connect with ACP. It's acpusa.org, I believe, and I think there's a dash in between it. We'll make sure to provide the link, I'm certain. And then through LinkedIn as well, there's resources that you can help civilians and veterans alike to say, yeah, I'm open to discussing my expertise with you, and then it'll periodically prompt you. You can just simply contribute to the conversation as well. So you can just log on and find follow topics that are in your area of expertise, and make sure that you contribute to the dialogue in a way that helps people learn maybe what they can talk about on their resume, maybe what they can say that really resonates to hiring managers. The signs of a great resume are also the signs of a great LinkedIn profile. I just haven't written that book yet.
Coming soon.
So all the same stuff applies. Right? You know, it's not different. You don't have to have a totally different presence. You should have a photo on LinkedIn, not on your resume. But other than that, you know, it's all the same details. What are the specific value that you, what is the specific value you bring to a prospective employer? And when you connect the dots with people to help them find resources, it feels a good sense of reward, I think, for you. And when you're contributing to people's success at work, well, we're at work, what, like 8 hours a day on a good day? that's a third of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a positive impact on a third of somebody's life just by helping them in their career search. I think all of us may have something to offer there. So that's the first thing, I think, is be a resource and ask for resources. The second thing I would think is start writing your stories now. You may not need a resume right now. You may not be on the job hunt right now. But the worst time to write a resume is when you need a resume. That's the last thing you want to do is, by tomorrow, can you send me your resume? Oh no, what do I do? So don't do that. Write it all along. Now in the military, they kind of are doing this all along with what they call evaluation reports or fit reps in the Navy. And they're cataloging many of the details and individual notes of what they've accomplished in a given year. And they're doing this for a variety of reasons. Among them are for promotion boards. That's kind of how they analyze some of the performance. So that's one great resource. And if the military is doing that every year, tracking what they might write on a resume, essentially, couldn't we as civilians? Why not start thinking about your story now? And of course, the third thing I'd ask is that if you need help in career transition for resumes or interviews, I'd encourage you to go to scottmetter.com where you can pick up a copy of Signs of a Great Resume or the follow-up edition, Signs of a Great Resume, Veterans Edition, written just for our proud service members. Coming soon to a bookshelf near you, Signs of a Great Interview will be out as soon as I finish the editing process, which is every author's favorite process. Signs of a Great Interview is shaping up nicely. The same signs apply, and what I'm doing in Signs of a Great Interview is teaching you how to tell your story in an interview the similar way that we teach you to bring it to life on your resume.
Nice. Congratulations, Scott, on the new book coming up, and I promise I will have all of these links in the bio on my podcast, Be the Hero and Rescue Yourself, and also on my YouTube channel with Kelly Fullman. So, Scott, thank you so much. I am so excited about this podcast because I feel like it's going to help so many people that are in a situation right now, and then people that are still in their organizations doing a job. You're right, they need to have a file or a folder and start creating those stories now. So then they can just, and when they're stressed and they're upset about losing a job, you've got all that information there and they can pull it over to their resume and it's all right there and they're not trying to remember what happened 5 years ago. I mean, sometimes I don't remember what I had breakfast for yesterday. I mean, so that is such a great piece of information. So thank you so much, Scott. You have been amazing, delightful, and a joy to interview, and wish you all the best of luck in the entire world. And tell everybody I said hello. And take care of yourself. Be sweet.
Thanks, Kelly. Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning into my podcast, Be the Hero and Rescue Yourself with Kelly Fullman. If you enjoyed listening to my podcast or watching this YouTube video, please follow or subscribe to my channel and walk with me through my journey of celebrating my very own heroes and an opportunity to learn the valuable lessons they taught me over the years, which allowed me to gain the courage to wear my very own cape and be the hero of my life. You can also follow me on Instagram at kfullman, that's K-F-U-H-L-M-A-N, at Facebook, /KFullman1, or on LinkedIn, Kelly Fullman MBA. Also, please leave your comments below because I see feedback as a gift and it will guide me on how to help you gain the courage you need to rescue yourself. Be sweet, y'all. Thanks.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.